I was asked to talk about the topic of when should a person consider themselves be ready to date? Clearly, there is no one answer to this for every person. Everybody, I think, is different in this regard. But I think that there are a few general rules that make sense to speak about in the context of this question. And I'm going to try to address this question in three ways. When is a person religiously ready to date? When is a person emotionally ready to date? And when is a person financially ready to date? And I think each of them requires some discussion. Religiously, I think that's we are a yeshiva, so we're going to start with that. I think it's very important for a person to have his own head screwed on straight very carefully in terms of understanding his own hashkafas hachayim, in terms of being sure of himself and having a broad-reaching and clearly benachas, being able to articulate for himself of what his vision of what he wants to be in life. Now, obviously, hopefully, our entire lifetimes, we're still growing. You know, I've, Baruch Hashem, been married, this will be 20 years this year. Seems pretty crazy, but whatever. It'll be 20 years this year. And I hope that I'm still trying to grow and still trying to develop and still trying to achieve higher levels. But what I mean is that I think it's very important for a person. And the truth is that sometimes it's the dating process itself that helps to clarify for a person exactly what he wants in life, exactly where he's going. But I think that while a person is still in flux, and because of that, you know, I feel strongly about the fact that when we are in a very Torah-intensive environment in Eretz Yisrael, and then when we come back and we have to now make certain compromises and adjustments from the Eretz Yisrael schedule and to sort of just figure out, you know, Rashi of Karen Biafni used to say all the time that in yeshiva you get the yeshiva glasses, the mishkafayim yeshivatiyot. You get the yeshiva glasses through which to view the rest of the world. But exactly how that hashkafa plays itself out and exactly how that hashkafa ends up developing, every person's going to be different. Every person has his own neshama, his own way of settling that. So personally, I think, you know, the years right after Eretz Yisrael are years that are important to figure out how to translate the mishkafayim yeshivatiyot, the yeshiva glasses, the viewing life through the prism of Torah. How exactly that translates requires, you know, a certain amount of time. In other words, you know, for me, like, if a person's, like, been into learning for 2 years or 3 years, that's not the right time to actually, it's the right time to begin to consider life's big time philosophies. But to me, like, until a person has had, you know, a little bit longer than that, a number of years of, you know, solid thinking about complex issues in life and discussing and knowing really through life experience where he's holding on these issues, it's not the right time to consider who you want yet as a life partner. You first have to figure out exactly where you stand on a lot of these issues. And it goes without saying, but I can't tell you how much the person you marry is going to impact on the quality of your religious life forever. Not just on your children, your family, but on your own quality of life, but someone who's going to be supportive of your own establishing time to learn, someone who's going to be supportive of your life's mission. But in order to find someone who's going to be supportive of your life's mission, you first need to really be clear on what your own life's mission is. And I think that certainly now things are, you know, raw and still developing, and you're still working at developing that Hashkafas HaChaim. So, you know, I think that a person has to first have a number of years under their belt of developing the appropriate Torah outlook on life and having a certain amount of life experience and seeing how the Torah can impact on the out of the Beis HaMedrash life in order for him to be able to even know what he's looking for and to know, which is a different shmooze, right? That's a different shmooze. What should we be looking for? We'll get to that. But now we're just talking about when does a person himself. I think that right out of Shana Aleph, Shana Beis, I think that most kids, the overwhelming majority of kids, are still raw in their intense religious experience and haven't really figured out. I can only speak from my own personal experience. I mean, look, Shana Beis is very different than Shana Aleph, but everybody has a different experience. I mean, for me, Shana Aleph was just like a trip that really, you know, was necessary, I think, to purge whatever problems there were in my own past history, high school, whatever things were. And Shana Bet was really the time where I started actually viewing my learning. Shana Aleph learning was really just like a psych-up trip. It was like it wasn't really real, it wasn't really enduring. It was important. But Shana Bet is where, like, you know, so I say Shana Aleph stayed up till 3 in the morning and then couldn't learn the whole rest of the day the next day or whatever, all the other things. You know, so when I say Shana Bet is where learning really, for me, became more part of like normal life. Like learning should be like a regular, normal, everyday, you know, exciting and enjoyable part of life. But so I think after you come back from Eretz Yisrael in the same way, so a person needs to work at figuring out exactly where and how, you know, learning fits into his regular schedule, with the understanding that, of course, you know, on the other end of the scope, you know, once you get married, you have a lot, generally speaking, you have a lot less time to learn because you have more responsibilities. We'll talk about the financial piece. So the other piece of this is that to wait long enough until you fill yourself up with another years of even being able to learn 5, 6, 7 hours a day or however many hours a day we can, you know, after marriage, that's going to go down. So you got to also delay it long enough that you can, on the other end of the time, fill yourself up with these years of being able to learn. I mean, you know, it's you know, and certainly once you finish college, you know, to be able to sink in, you know, maybe some serious time into learning at that time before you have the obligation of marriage, I think is also a very important cheshbon to throw into the equation. Part two, let's talk a little bit about financial. I've spoken about this before a little bit, and I'm going to reiterate it a little bit in this shmooze, about how important I think it is, and how I think it, generally speaking, again, there are exceptions to the rule where this works, but I just have a lot of concerns about the promulgation of the culture that we find ourselves in, where kids are getting married very young, before they have any hasaga of being able to support themselves, and just living off, you know, a father-in-law who's just going to keep giving and giving and giving and giving and giving without a sense of kids taking responsibility for themselves. I have seen a number of examples where that model does not work, because basically the person is completely not yet ready to provide themselves, and the whole developing of the family doesn't develop in any kind of independent, self-sufficient, healthy way. And the person is just always dependent on somebody else giving, and somebody else giving, and somebody else giving. I think that in many, many cases, I would venture to say in the majority of cases, that is not a recipe for a successful marriage. I think strongly that a person should not go out until he has some conception of how he plans on providing for a wife and providing for children. I know that there's a few caveats about this. One caveat is that I don't think there's anything wrong with, let's say, you know, in the early years of marriage, for a year or 2 years, for a short amount of time, maybe 3 years, maybe through graduate school, you know, something like that. I mean, the truth is that I don't like to give a number, but if you had to put a number on it, you know, I think the number is around 22. That's the number where what I think makes sense. I mean, I know for myself, I didn't consider getting married before 22, and when I was 22, that's when I started. Because I think that you got to be almost done with college, if not done with college. Graduate school, I could see already graduate school, so to be supported for a year or two through graduate school is pretty normal and standard, and parents understand that they need to provide that kind of thing. And to start a family that time, I think makes sense, but you got to at least have college, you know, almost done, if not done, you know, and then because graduate school, you're already thinking about it, maybe working part-time and graduate school part-time, and then there's already ways to at least chip in a little bit or have something on Shabbos and, you know, something like that. But I really think that financially being self-supported, to be able to sustain yourself and to be self-sufficient, I think is crucially important starting out of marriage. And it's very difficult at the beginning. Again, if you have parents or in-laws who are willing to help out at the beginning, that is great, and you know, you don't want to stare a gift or you shouldn't be negative, you shouldn't say no, but a person should really look to be financially, you know, stable and to be financially to a degree independent. A long-term plan of living off of somebody else for a lot of years, I think, is not healthy for the beginning of marriage. And I think it's, like I said before in previous times, that to live off somebody else, that means somebody else is making the decisions for you. And I don't think a Jew should really be, again, unless you have a really rare situation where you have a father or father-in-law who just give and let you make all the decisions about where you're sending your kids to school and where, you know, how much time you're learning and how much time you're doing. I think a person should be self-sufficient. Because you have to respect your parents, respect them. Abba Shamayim, we spoke about that, but not that they should have to make all the detailed decisions in your life. And if they're giving you the money to support you, so they're going to be making those decisions. So again, for a year or two or three is normal, that kind of stuff, through graduate school, through smicha. You know, smicha is also graduate school. So through things like that, that makes sense. I think, you know, 22 is the right time. And finally, I think a person has to be emotionally ready. It is a big achrayus. Taking achrayus for somebody else. And taking achrayus for children. I want to say something briefly about this. And my father always said when he went to yeshiva, I think I mentioned this before, so a lot of the Russian yeshiva, my father was a very yeshivish place, and a lot of the Russian yeshiva, maybe in the more yeshivish places, give all kinds of heterim for birth control. And you can learn, it helps you learn for a long time and all this. I'll tell you that my rebbes are so vehemently against this. I mean, my Rebbe Rav Mordechai Willig is so vehemently against any kind of birth control, again, except in an extenuated sense, there's an illness or there's mamish real issues, but my Rebbe says, if you're not ready to have kids, then don't get married, because that's the point of getting married. The point of getting married is to have children. That's the whole ikar yiso, the whole point of getting married. If you're going to get married and say, oh, but I want to learn for another 3 years with the wife, and so I don't have to have the responsibilities of kids, then don't get married. My Rebbe likes to say that people, you know, once a person has kids and they feel the burden of kids is too much, so he'll be the first person to give all kinds of heterim for birth control. But, you know, but to not have the meetings is all too often. It's happened to him many times where the people who don't listen to him and use birth control then come back to him 5 years later asking him for a bracha to try to have children. Because when you mess around with those kind of things, sometimes it messes around with your system. Enough said. I don't want to speak too much about this. It's for a later shmooze about, but I'd say the tradition that I have is very, very, very strongly against birth control. I know this is not something that's universally accepted, but hashkafically, it's something that made a very big impact on me. And when you'll learn the incredible nes and bracha, what it means to have a child, what it means to care for a child, it's like mamish, you can't even describe. I can't even describe it to you, because again, it's one of those that you can't know until you have it. But you need to be emotionally ready to take responsibility for somebody else, emotionally ready to take responsibility for children. It's a big achrayas. You have to be mature and ready and know that you're stable enough to take responsibility for somebody else, to have the self-confidence and the ability to feel that you can start a life. Again, how does a person know whether he has that self-confidence? I hope you'll know it when you have it. And the truth is, you know, sometimes you're nervous that you don't have it, it means that you really have it. So it's hard to know, you know. It's hard to know. I want to say, again, speaking generally, some people say that it's better to get married early because it deals with issues of hirhurim. And I understand that. And I hear that. And there certainly is halachic backing and hashkafic, mamari chazal, that support issues like that. Dayan the Gemara Kedushin, halon v'haluhu, and other mefarshim would talk about that. But in light of the other three things that I mentioned, I don't feel that's really in the current scenario. You know, if a person is not religiously ready and not emotionally ready and not financially ready, but he's worried about her horror and he thinks that getting married is gonna deal that issue with that issue, I would not be in favor of a person getting married, for that. I think that that's an issue that needs to be dealt with, and that's a complex issue. I will not speak on tape about that issue, but I will speak privately. People want to talk to me about that issue. That issue is an issue of concern. Something that I thought about a lot and have a lot of ideas about. And I talked about it a little bit. When we talked about Shmir Sinai, I did speak about it a little bit. But I don't think that's a reason to get married early. I know that in the yeshivish circles, that's one of the reasons why I think they push people to get married early. These issues are in order. But in our circles, I have a lot of concerns about that. I'm not sure that model of, again, living on the money of the rich father-in-law, through many years of kolo, and I don't think that it breeds a sense of neediness. It breeds a sense of not providing for yourself. It breeds a sense of taking, of always being a taker, and not a giver. You spoke about this when it came to the importance of having a living, and I think a person needs to be self-sufficient. I think a person's Yiddishkeit should be self-sufficient. A person's financially should be self-sufficient. A person should need to worry about himself and should take achrayas and responsibility for his own family. So again, I hope I've given you some general broad guidelines from Kitewise to have a clear picture of what your Hashkafas HaChaim is, and to really have worked it out to a sense of kids and things like that. Again, some of it's going to be a work in progress after marriage, and some of it you're going to work out with your wife-to-be, and some of it's going to be working it together. I don't mean that you have to be a fully completed project, right? I mean, lo tov heyos adam levado, esel ha'ezek kenegdo. Your wife is going to be mashlim you. She's going to help you figure out some of these things. But you should at least be well on your way, to at least have most of, your general direction at least figured out, before that. I want to pause for questions to see if anybody has any issues. Yeah, Jacob.
What's a general hashkafa review? What does that like entail? Knowing where you want to send your kids, is that or I don't know.
I think it means knowing what your general values are. Knowing about what you view your relationship to Limud HaTorah should be. Again, it's, you have to work it out together with your partner in life. But, I think it should be generally, hashkafically, where you stand on major issues, in general, what type of school you think you want to send your kid to, what you think are ideals that are important in a marriage, what you think are important, for a wife to, how a wife should behave. That'll be another shmoo, what to look for. But, how you view a marriage relationship should look. Really, how you view your own relationship to Torah mitzvahs. To what degree is your own passion and intensity towards Torah mitzvahs? You're not going to know what to look for in a spouse if you don't know what you think about your own level of passion and intensity towards Avodas Hashem, towards Shmiras HaMitzvahs, things of that nature. I know I'm not giving you such specific things, but some of it is, it needs to be worked out. Yeah.
You said something about the dating process sort of helps you mean, so when you said, like, let's say, the age of 22, does that mean start dating from there, and then you, or you can, I don't know how long the dating process takes, but it takes a while, so start a little before that, and then, I mean, I don't.
Right, I totally hear your question. I hear 100%. So I think the best case scenario is where you've worked it out before. If you're pretty clear on what you need before the dating process, but sometimes what happens is as the dating process happens, it helps you clarify some of these issues. Maybe we'll talk more about it privately. I'll go do my other job.
Any